This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
On the breakfast grill today is Dato Zahrul Ahmad Zulkifli, CEO of Consortium Zenith BUCG. The consortium has been awarded the project to oversee the construction of the 6.3 billion ringgit, 6.5 kilometer Penang undersea tunnel, which will connect Bagan Ajam in the mainland Butterworth to Gurney Drive in the north of the Penang Island. The consortium comprises of Zenith Construction Berhad and the Beijing Urban Construction Group, or BUCG. Zenith is a Grade 7 contractor with Malaysia's Construction Industry Development Board, or CIDB. BUCG is a huge Chinese contracting and consulting company which built, among other things, the Beijing National Stadium, otherwise known as the Bird's Nest Stadium. Dato, in our discussion today, we want to get insights into the award of construction projects, not only in Penang, but in Malaysia as a whole. So this Penang undersea tunnel project, 6.3 billion ringgit is the cost. It seems quite expensive. Is that a fair statement?
Actually, there are four highways that we are doing. It's not just the undersea tunnel. We've got three highways that we have to do on the island. And the last link would be the tunnel, the 7 kilometer tunnel. We're going to start, God willing, if everything goes well, approvals are given and so on and so forth. We should start construction of the first highway in Aitam, and then followed by a pad road in Tanjung Bunga Teluk Bahang, and finally another coastal highway in Gurney, which we call it the Gurney Bypass. Finally, would be the undersea tunnel. So the whole project will cost me 6.3 billion, which includes cost for land acquisition, because we will be encompassing quite a number of properties, and which we'll have to acquire them in order to construct our highway.
Would it be correct to say that the bulk of the cost would be in the 6.5 kilometer undersea tunnel, because that's where technology is most expensive? And you're also tying up with a huge Chinese construction company, which has got a lot of experience in building highways in China. According to a World Bank report, the way the Chinese have built their for example, the high-speed rails in their country is between $17 million to about $20 million per kilometer. This is 6.3 billion ringgit for 6.5 kilometer. It's almost a billion ringgit per kilometer. How come the Chinese party have not been able to help in cost reduction?
Actually, the cost of constructing the tunnel and the cost of the three highways is about 50-50. So you're talking about the tunnel costing to be about 3 billion ringgit. And the cost of building the tunnel per se is not as expensive as the engineering and the environmental and the features that have to be included in the tunnel to ensure safety.
So that's very surprising to, a cost of over 3 billion is going to be used to build those highways totaling up to maybe 20, 25 kilometers. Is that not very expensive to build those highways?
All right.
Because, I mean, we have the Chinese here supposed to have a reputation of being very low cost, and they're building high-speed rails for 17 million to 20 million US dollars per kilometer. Okay. And yet you're spending 3.5 billion to 3 billion to build these roads.
This road, okay. Very good, very good question. And to answer it is very simple, because Penang Island is a small island, and there's not much room for you to actually maneuver. And we have to come up with a very innovative or a proper scheduling to make sure that we will not disrupt the traffic so much, and also with the constraints of limitations of space, we have to go through, like, for example, we have also an underground tunnel which we will be constructing at the Gurney Highway. And we also have a double deck highway, which is the first double deck highway in the country. So construction costs is going to be high because of the constraints. if we have the land mass like the east-west like the Plus Highway and so on, I think then it will be just matter of paving the land, the road, clearing the road and paving the road. But this has got more things to do because of the land.
So just as a background, you are a G7 contractor status with the government of Malaysia, which means that there is no limit as to the ringgit value of the projects that you can bid for. Could you give us an idea of what your past track records have been?
As a contractor, we have not got any contract that is as big as this. We have bid into some projects, federal projects, which some are still ongoing. And we also awarded a few projects earlier on, which were completed earlier, but under different entities. One of the entities that which could be as a landmark would be my company called Bring In Wajah, which was awarded together with Binapuri, the Malaysian embassy in Russia. So this project became an attraction to us because of my association with the Chinese. And I am closely associated to not only to Beijing Urban Construction, but more so with China Railway Construction. China Railway is one of the biggest contractors, EPC contractors in the world. And they've built thousands of kilometers of tunnel work.
So you got this project based on your relationship with the Chinese. How was that established?
Oh, it's not easy. In the first place, I don't speak Chinese. So language is quite a problem. But I think basically it was the chemistry. I got to know them because one of the current managing director of China Railway used to be in Beijing Urban Construction Group. So when he moved on, we had already established a relationship. And he found me to be someone who I like to call a spade a spade. So, you know, whether it's good or bad, I would tell them exactly as it is. I think they like it.
What would you say is the kind of value you would add to this project? I mean, why couldn't the Penang state government go directly with the Chinese?
Okay, I think if you're giving everything to the Chinese also, I don't think it's right. I think
why not?
Because it's an industry which I think local people are capable of doing.
So at the end of the day, it's going to be the consumers and the pedestrians and all these road users who are going to pay for the tunnel, right? Would going directly with the Chinese, would it have lowered the cost of the construction very much more?
I am there as the concession owner, and the three highways will not have any tolls. The only toll that will be imposed will be for the undersea tunnel, and that is because if it is a toll-free thing, then the first two links to Penang Island, the two bridges will be quite empty. So I am the concessionaire. They are only my contractors. So they get paid and they go off. What I want to bring to the table is I want them to get a few of our local contractors to learn about how the methodology and how to do an undersea tunnel.
Okay. And Dato, earlier on, we were talking about the idea of your value add to the consortium. And of course, the burden that consumers would have to bear after this whole thing has been construction in the form of toll roads and in the form of disruption to livelihoods and so on. Mm. Going back to your statement that you wanted to allow Malaysians to have this experience, is this worth something just for Malaysians to have experience, but escalating the whole cost of the project upwards?
When we did the Plus Highway, we didn't have any knowledge of building highways. And today, a lot of the companies that had the experience of building the highway are now getting contracts in India, in the Middle East, and so on their own strength. Why?
And until today, the road users are still suffering because of the toll rate burden, right? Would it have been better as, let's say, just to explore and play around with the idea of concept, right? Of foreigners building our infrastructure directly with the benefit of lower costs. Would you say that they can lower the cost if it all went 100% to the foreigners themselves?
No. They are more so as project managers. Of course, the tunnel is a little bit more different. But where the construction of the highways are concerned, they're just project managing. Because I don't expect them to bring the whole machinery from China, workers from China or whatever machinery you require for construction. They will have to subcontract. And this will benefit. In fact, infrastructure projects such as this under this current situation would be the ideal channel for economic growth, because you will get a lot of contractors getting jobs, you get people getting jobs, and it will spur the economy. Of course, as you know, a lot of other industries also will be involved, people doing logistics, people doing catering, and so on and so forth. So
Dato, the other complaint about this highway is also the fact that the feasibility study was very expensive. 305 million ringgit was spent on feasibility study.
Yes.
Why is it so expensive?
Because people just focus on the word feasibility study. Actually, it's not feasibility study alone. It's feasibility study and design. And there are a lot of things that you need to incur. A lot of engineers, a lot of equipment to be placed to ensure that, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Penang is a small island. So we have to be very precise in what we're doing. And we have to make sure that the impact on the environment is very minimal.
What goes into this 305 million? Is it the price tag that consultants charge you?
Consultants, it's not only feasibility study. It's also got to do with detailed design. Detailed design is something... it's more skewed towards the tunnel on the detailed design, because you don't want to have any mishaps, and you have to ensure that whatever the design that you come up with is foolproof.
So it's not just the environmental impact, but the entire design of the tunnel goes into the feasibility study.
Yes, it does. And we have to engage foreign consultants, we have to engage experts. We had an expert that day came over from, she's from China, but she's a professor, and she's one of those who sits in the tunneling board, or the World Tunneling Board. And she came over to give an explanation about, you know, what are the things that we have to go look into, and so on and so forth.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Dato' Zaro Ahmad Zulkifli, CEO of Consortium Zenith BUCG, which is building the Penang Undersea Tunnel, among other things. Now, Dato', the other controversial thing is, of course, the land swap. This is where the Penang State Government went into a barter deal for you to build a tunnel and pay Consortium Zenith BUCG with a tract of land with a size of about 45 hectares. Give us a background of what you're going to do to this land. I mean, what is the GDV and what is your development going to look like?
Basically, what I've done is I have passed on the development site to Ewin Berhad.
Which is another company that is under your...
I don't own Ewin Berhad. It's owned by... it's a public listed company. I don't have any... major interest in Ewin.
You sit on board of Ewin or
no? I'm on board on the subsidiary, which has also Zenith in it.
So, would you say that this is a fair award of this, development of the piece of land to Ewin?
See, the Penang for me to give to Ewin.
That's right.
Because I want to concentrate on my construction. I want to make sure that I deliver what I've been contracted to do, and I want to make sure that I do it to the best. Because of that, I do not want to be saddled with problems of development and so on.
But at the same time, you also want to make sure that you will be paid for the cost of that construction, right?
Correct. And that's the problem for Ewin. Ewin has got to pay me.
How are they paying?
I'm giving them the land.
Because as I understand the land would be claimed on a progressive basis as milestones of the construction is being met. Will this not disrupt the entire development of that tract of land? Because construction needs to be integrated and comprehensive rather than piecemeal.
No, construction, we are claiming parcels of land according to work schedule. So when we make a claim, after we have completed a certain amount of work, certified by independent consultants, the state government, blah, 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 approved, then we get the portion of land that is equivalent to the amount of work done.
Does this mean that you can't work on the piece of land that you've been promised by the Penang State government in its entirety? You can just work on it on a piece-by-piece basis.
Yes, but Iwin has come up with a master plan. And in fact, we have also obtained, I say we because it's Iwin Zenith, we are also a shareholder of that entity. We have obtained this GTP, champion for the GTP on wellness. So with that team, that means you know that we are going to do a wellness city, which will comprise umbilical services, maybe a hospital and a health mall and so on and so forth.
So the estimated GDV on this piece of land is around about the 6.2, 6.3 billion ringgit level, almost the same as the cost of the undersea tunnel.
No, the GDV should be higher.
How much is the GDV?
I wouldn't know because it's still on the drawing table. But you see, your GDV.
But why did you accept
minus that? GDC? That's your profit. Yeah.
Correct. But if you don't have the precise calculations, why would you think that it is okay and it is profitable to accept this as a form of payment from the Penang State government?
Iwin has got to. That's Iwin's problem. My problem. My issue is Iwin has got to find back borrowers still to pay me. It's up to Iwin to come up with the design, to come up with the financing structure and so on and so forth to pay me. That's why
it does feel like a house of cards, right? Anything can fall. For example, recently, of course, we know that the ringgit has weakened very substantially against the US dollar.
Uh-huh.
How does this play into cost escalation issues? I mean, are you going to claim extra tracts of land from the government should costs go up?
So far, we have kept it within the 6.3.
How is dealing?
Because most of the materials that we are getting are all local. There's nothing that we need to import for the time being. The tunnel is going to come in 2020, 2021. So that's a long way to go before we start off with the tunnel. Tunnel will be, of course, we'll be importing the tunnel.
So you're saying that there is no ringgit US dollar effects on your project?
No, it shouldn't be. Well, if people were to say, oh, because of the ringgit, this you know, the prices will escalate and all that, I think they're just finding an excuse.
And what about the present value of the toll roads? You're also given the right to a concession, a 30-year toll road. How much are you going to make out of this?
Government is not giving me any guarantee. There's no traffic guarantee. That means I have to make sure that I have enough people going through the tunnel to make money. There's no guarantee from the government. So it's a risk that I have to take as a businessman.
Dato Zara Ahmad Zulkifli, CEO of Consortium ZenitBUCG, who's the builder of the Penang Undersea Tunnel, is on the Breakfast Grill this morning. Now, Dato, I just want to quickly touch on this proposal for the privatization of the freight railway in Malaysia. How advanced are you into negotiations in getting this?
Okay, first of all, because of my associationship with China Railway, it is a waste that I just contain to just construction. But, you know, they are an infrastructure king. And, of course, as the name China Railway, they are, of course, railway people. So I'm getting a lot of expertise and support from China Railway. And, you know, the 800 million that was reported is not going to come tomorrow. Immediately upon getting my license, I'm going to spend 800 million. No. It will be over the years. Yes.
Because, and this is certainly a lot cheaper than 6.3 billion, right? what is being spent on this kind of, by this 800 million ringgit?
Major part of the purchase would be for the locomotives. And we are working closely with China Railway, and they are giving us quite an easy payment scheme.
Are you using existing railway lines? Are you taking over from KTM?
No. We are not taking over. We are not. We are using the same. See, what happens is KTM is going. The railway lines will be owned by a Railway Asset Corporation (RAC), and RAC will lease the railway lines to KTM as well as to us, and whoever other operators that the government might give in future.
Do you think the government should open this to an open tender? I mean, in the UK, they've done a privatization of freight, and they have seven players over there. Should this be done in Malaysia?
Well, having more than one operator or having a competitive kind of situation, I think is good for the country, good for consumers. Then consumers will have a choice, and you have to make sure that you are more efficient and more cost effective. So I think it's good for the consumer.
Do you think that this is an idea which is passé, because right now the app world, right, the online app world is kind of disrupting a lot of businesses. Should apps be used? For example, I don't know if there's an Uber for long distance freight. What do you think of that idea?
They, in the first place, they need to have the locomotives.
They might be just using drivers, car drivers who are so happen traveling to those particular areas and using.
Oh, you mean as an alternative? That means they don't use the freight.
Correct. Freight in the sense that not being delivered by locomotives, but by
road,
by traffic users.
Unless the cost of oil goes down pretty much, locomotives are still way cheaper than petrol.
Well, right now, the extra capacity in a car or in a motorbike or in some lorries, you know, traveling long distance is zero, because they're already using that to transport themselves.
Yeah, but how much can they carry? How much cargo can they carry? We're talking about bulk, like lorries and cars and all that. If they can get business on small business on transporting goods via the road, so be it. It's good.
What do you think are the chances that the government would approve of this project?
Well, the government has already, conceptually, the government has approved for multi-operator. So that concept has gone through. And we have also made our presentations to Ministry of Transport on our overall plan. They were happy with it.
What were some of the KPIs that the government demanded of you?
Well, basically, they want to see how viable can we be.
Will there be some consumer KPIs, consumer-driven KPIs?
That's where I'm coming at. Okay. They will also look at how much can we reduce on cost of goods. Because right now, cost of goods, if you're looking at cost of goods right now, it's 20% of cost of goods is on transportation. Whereas when those countries that are efficient in rail, they have brought it down to even as low as 8%. And that goes to the consumers.
Which country is this?
European countries. So in Asia, we still high on the transportation cost, because basically it's always on road rather than on rail. So whatever we can do to reduce the costs of goods, at the same time, of course, make ourselves viable, is the way forward.
Thanks so much for your time. And that was Dato' Zahro Ahmad Zulkifli, CEO of Consortium Zenith BUCG, on this morning's Breakfast Grill. I'm Julian Ng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.